Hey, this is Pastor Ricky Ortiz at MetaChurch, and I just want to take a moment to share a word with you. We're doing things a little bit differently this month during the month of August here at MetaChurch. We're in the middle of a series called Stories, and this series is all about how God is at work in and through our stories. And each week, you'll hear two short messages from people within the MetaChurch community sharing their own personal stories of how God is at work in their lives. So sit back, enjoy the messages, and find encouragement for your story this month.
So I'm Maggie, and I love this church, and I'm excited to tell my story. So, also, I'm pretty sure everybody knows, but if you don't, for my job, I am an assistant editor for a magazine. So along with that comes some pretty fun things and some perks here and there, but one thing that I often get to do is I get invited to these big, extravagant PR parties. I don't even know how else to describe them. But so to give you an idea, I'll just tell you a couple that I've been to lately. So I saw JoJo perform a little too late at a Colgate toothpaste event. It was pretty bizarre, actually. And last month, I went to an Amazon Prime event. They had all their new holiday gift guide gadgets like all over the room, and we got to like look at them like, why am I there? But my favorite of all time, I think, is whenever I somehow finessed my way into convincing a BuzzFeed beauty editor to let me be her assistant behind the scenes backstage at New York Fashion Week. So all of these make for pretty fun, like cool stories now, but I can tell you that at the time, in each of those instances, I did not feel like I belonged, and I felt just like that, like I finessed my way in, and I wasn't supposed to be there. So I was recently talking to a coworker about this and about how sometimes in our jobs, we don't feel like we really belong there or that we really deserve the position that we're in. And she was like, you know, that's called imposter syndrome, and it's so real. And I was like, wait, what is that? So she starts explaining it to me. And for those who don't know, I'm just going to explain it because I didn't know at first either. So it's a psychological term that refers to a pattern of behavior where people doubt their accomplishments and have a persistent fear of being exposed as a fraud. So when she explained this to me, I was like, that is so me, and that's been me for so much of my life. And so I was just going to kind of go into my little background. I grew up in church. My parents were always super involved. My dad was on staff at every church we've ever been to. My mom was always volunteering. I basically was at Sunday school probably a week after I was born. I was always in vacation Bible school every summer. I went to a private Christian school where we had Bible verse quizzes every Friday and Bible tests every week. So I thought that I knew everything there was to know about the Bible. You know, I knew all the stories. I could even tell you why it's true that, you know, Noah's Ark is real. You know, I have the facts to back it up. I thought I knew everything that I needed to know to be as close to God as possible. But still, every time he would bless me with something or every time he would try to talk to me or really extend a hand and show me who he really is, I would just shrink back. I would try to hide. I didn't want him to really know me, even though my brain should have told me, like, he already knows you, you know? But I thought that there were parts of me that I could hide from him or just keep from him. I didn't want to have to give him my all. And I thought that knowing all these Bible verses and Bible stories kept me on a firm foundation. But I was always just terrified that he would find me out or realize who I really am. And I just didn't think I was deserving of anything that he ever tried to give me. And while all of these are really sad feelings to feel, I think the most limiting part of this imposter syndrome is that you really can't step fully into what he has for you. Because even if you have this biblical knowledge, or, you know, my friends would always come and ask me for advice, and I could like bestow all this like biblical wisdom, and they're like, oh, you have it all together. You really know this stuff. And it's like, yeah, I know it, but I never truly felt it. And I was just always so afraid that, you know, the rug could be pulled out at any moment, or like that luck might not stay on my side, or that people would just realize who I truly am, and then it would all just crumble. And the even sadder truth, I think, about that is that that's exactly what our enemy wants. And so after sitting on this and thinking about this for several months after my coworker explained this to me, I thought back through of times in my life whenever I let this control me, and like just even whenever I went to that backstage with that editor. That, like, this syndrome is what kept me from, you know, asking her for a full-time job, you know, or even at all these different events, it kept me from connecting and communicating to other people there because I was so afraid, oh no, like, they're going to realize I'm not supposed to be here. And I realized that that's exactly what I did with God. I would be at church, at Bible study, hanging out with friends even and talking about him, like he's in the room, but like just kind of ignoring him and trying to hide, or I would be there and just pretend like he wasn't there, you know? And it kept me from opening up to him for fear that he would find my flaws, even though it was my flaws that he wanted to use for a greater purpose all along. And so I was reminded after thinking this all through of the what I believe to be the first instance of imposter syndrome in the Bible. And it's Exodus 3 of Moses at the burning bush. So God saw that Moses saw the burning bush, and he called him over and told him to take off his sandals because he was standing on holy ground. And in verse 6, it says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, the Bible says that Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God, even though God was talking to him. So he must have trusted him a little bit. And so here's the part that's the scariest. God says, "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" So we see in the next chapter that Moses has some kind of speech impediment. The Bible's a little unclear about exactly what it was, but he had some kind of stutter or lisp, something that kept him from being able to form his words clearly. So how was he supposed to deliver this great message or whatever when he couldn't even say it right? You know, that's what he thought. He didn't see his worth. He didn't think he was capable of it. And then he realized that doing this for God was going to highlight his biggest flaw. His biggest insecurity was going to be put on blast, basically. So obviously he's terrified of that. And instead of stepping fully into what God was calling him to, he tried to shrink back from it. You know, exactly what I always tried to do. And I realized that what fuels this imposter syndrome is our lack of faith. You know, even though Moses was literally saved from a floating basket down the river, he didn't think that, you know, what God had planned for him was going to be better than that, you know? I think we get caught up in the way we think things have to be, that we fail to see and realize and understand what God really can do for us. And so similarly to how God told Moses to go, I was reminded of a verse that I vividly remember, actually. I was thinking about it this morning in, like, Bible thrills, drills, and skills class. Memorizing. Yeah, that was what it was called. I still have the t-shirt. It's Acts 1:8, and it says, "And the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And this doesn't say, you know, once you have it all together, then you'll get my spirit. Once you show me what you're capable of, then I'll be able to use you. Or once you show me how good you are, then you can receive my power. No, it says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then you will go and do these things. He equips us before he even really calls us. He gives us what we need before we even know what we need. He prepares us for the battle before we even pick up the sword. And this is something that one of my friends, my best friend's mom, actually says all the time to us, that he doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And so, spoiler alert, I'm sure we all know that Moses does actually end up freeing the Israelites. And one of the messages that that God told Moses to bring to the Israelites was Deuteronomy 7:7-8. He says, "The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were actually the smallest of nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you." So what Moses had to say to the Israelites is what God says to us every day. And little did Moses know that the message he was sent to deliver to the Israelites was one that he also needed to know. God didn't choose him because he had perfect speech. God chose him because he knew that his speech was flawed and that that would be a way that God could tell the Israelites and even us today how much he loves us and how much what we can actually do through his spirit once we let him in. He knows us and he chooses us despite our flaws and in spite of our flaws. He wants to use us in every way that we will let him. And so imposter syndrome may be so real, but so is his captivating, unconventional, and unconditional love for us. So I just wanted to close with this verse. I recently found it, and I was like, this is literally so amazing. So this is just one of his many promises to us. It says, I'll call nobodies and make them somebodies. I'll call the unloved and make them beloved.
Yeah.
So that's all. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We hope it encourages you in your faith and blesses you throughout the week. If you'd like to find out more about Meta Church, you can find us online at meta.church. And we hope to see you again next week on the podcast.